Amen. His enemies knew Daniel about the good he would do. They knew that Daniel was going to be praying. And they knew that we're not going to get him convicted over nothing. We got to make a law that's going to contradict with his prayer life. But this man prays three times a day. This speaks about the importance of prayer. Daniel prayed three times a day. Let me get on. The truth is that Daniel, the law brought him in conflict with the Persian, with the law that had been made by Darius. And all they had something to work with, didn't they? Amen. Daniel was so devoted to God, he did not change his prayers simply because a law said you could not pray to God. Amen. Daniel is a bad boy, amen. A good boy, amen. And he says, and you know what? In verse 11, they caught him praying. Amen. It's good to be caught doing what you ought to be doing. Amen. I was go by the hospital, and I noticed one of the mottos up there at the Seton Hospital of St. David's, where they talk about the fact that we're concerned about caring people, caring about people. And then they had a motto up there that said, caught caring. Amen. Y'all didn't get it. Caught caring. Amen. You need to be caught caring, doing what you're supposed to do. They taking care of people. And so he says that they went and reminded the king. And notice how they talk about him in verse 13. Amen. They said that Daniel. See, there are some rumors about this. Many theologians write about that. They really did not like the elevation of one that was Jewish amongst the Babylonians. Daniel, you could say, may have been deported. He was there. He was not in Jerusalem. He was away from his home. He was there in Babylon. And the Babylonians, Babylonians did not like the fact they did not like the fact that he was being promoted. And he was a Jewish captive. How's he going to come to our country and make that kind of progress? It's not going to happen. But the king knew that Daniel was good at what he did. And he concluded that he really needs to be over everybody. Oh, wow. He's going to be just second to me. He was outstanding, the Bible says. Daniel had good qualities when you study him. He was very well disciplined. He prayed three times a day at the same time. Daniel's work was good. Oh, Daniel was promotable. It didn't matter if he was from here or not. Amen. But you got to hate us. They said that Daniel. They didn't say the president. You know, he was their president. They should have said President Daniel. But no, they said that Daniel. You see how they come out. Which is of the children of the captivity of Judah, regardeth not thee, O king. Nor the order of the decree that thou hast signed, but maketh the petition three times. He's still praying. That Daniel. You know how folk do when they don't like it. They talk of it. They get all ugly in the face. They call your name, but they don't do it. You know, you can read. They didn't like him, did they? They didn't like him. They did not like Daniel. They didn't like him. That Daniel. Daniel, the Bible says in verse 3, was of an excellent spirit. He was of an excellent spirit. Daniel had an excellent spirit. And the thing I like about Daniel is that Daniel, it was his spirit. He had an extraordinary spirit. Another translation says that Daniel had extreme quality, extraordinary qualities that no one. And they said that Daniel, you know, and I don't want to wreck. I may not get to this other part to the next service, but let me just simply say this. Why did they hate him so much? When we study the text, what we find out they came and said, all the presidents want you to sign this law in verse 7. And then you go back up to verse 4 and you find out they will find an occasion against Daniel. But nobody said what he did. Nobody said why they hated him so much. And, you know, ultimately when I finish is Judah and jealousy. But the truth of the matter is that they did not find. And then, you know, when you can't find them, you have to keep going backwards. You know that. If you lose your glasses, you got to back up. He said, where did I lose them at? And then you got to go back. And you go up and you find out in verse 3, that is, Daniel was preferred above the princes of the presidents and the princes because he had an excellent spirit. Now, that meant that he had exceptional qualities. So, have you ever had a case where people will just stir up all kind of trouble because they don't like nobody? And they'll bring one story when it's really not that. They just don't like them. Now, what they'll do is they will just stir up all kind of trouble. They don't like nothing they do. They don't like, they can't do nothing right. They can't. The people haven't changed, have they? When the truth of the matter is, what made these folk hate on him so bad? What made them hate on him? They were jealous. They had a jealous spirit. People may be jealous of you because of your brains, because of your body, because of the benefits you bring. People will downright hate you. And they will go tear up an organization. They will go tear up a workplace and play like it's about what they're talking about. When the truth of the matter is, they just don't like that person. They're haters. God gave him that gift. Now, they will ruin the organization over their jealousy. They won't say, well, let's put the kingdom first. Daniel does have the best. Daniel is good at this. No. They will bring down a whole kingdom. Forget about what this job is all about. We don't like her. We don't like him. We just don't like. And what God wants ain't important no more. I'm important. We don't like him. Now, if you put our guy in, we'll support it. This church could probably get, well, I ain't going to say that. But the truth of the matter is that you have to be careful about that jealous spirit. Because it'll ruin families, it'll ruin churches, it'll ruin jobs. People are jealous. They got a jealous spirit. And they were pulling this guy down who had done nothing. I wish I had time to get into the fact that he had interpreted the dream. Later on, he was a prophet. He was a minor prophet. And he had interpreted the dream that prophetically spoke of the coming kingdoms. And none of his people could interpret the dream. They couldn't even, and the king couldn't remember the dream. But Daniel was a guy, he was so close to the Lord, he didn't even have to know what the dream was. He could remember the dream for the king and interpret the dream. God gave him the gift. Oh, Lord have mercy. We're going to have to get to the truth of the matter is that you have to be careful. You have to keep your spirits in check. Stay focused. Be objective. And God needed Daniel, that kingdom needed Daniel's abilities. Didn't matter if he was from there or not. He was getting the job done well. Truth of the matter is that I will make big. I'm not through with that, but I'm going to move on. Daniel, we see his devotion. We see Daniel's deliverance out of all that they did. They tried to get rid of Daniel. The king didn't want to. They can't put pressure on him. He said, you did make a law now. Don't get soft on us. In verse 14, the king says, when he had these words, he was sore displeased in himself because, you know, he had set on his heart to deliver Daniel. And he worked until from sun up to sundown to deliver him. Then the men assembled in verse 15 unto the king and said, King, no, O king, that the law of the Medes and the Persians is that no decree or statute, you don't lock yourself in, king, may be changed. So you're not going to get soft on us, don't you? You're supposed to have thrown them in the den. What are you waiting on? You know how people put pressure on you when they don't like somebody. They done got with somebody and they got the power behind them, and now they're going to try to push them out. And now he made that. And then the king had to give in verse 16. He said, okay, the king said, look, go ahead. The king commanded, they brought Daniel and they cast him in the den of lions. And then, Daniel, thy God whom thou servest continually, you are loyal to him. He will deliver thee. They brought the stone, and then the king's seal went on it. The signet means you cannot remove this. And of the not only his thing, but the king of his nobles or his lords, the other officials of the administration, put their seal on it. And when they do that, can't nobody touch that. It's against the law to remove that stone. They rolled a stone over there on Daniel. Amen. Then the king couldn't sleep that night. His sleep went from him, according to the end of verse 18. And the king rose very early in the morning. And we see Daniel's deliverance. And when he had came to Daniel, he cried with a lamented voice, Daniel, the king spake unto old Daniel, old Daniel, servant of the living God, is thy God whom thou servest continually able to deliver thee? Amen. We could have answered that for him, but he said, we weren't there anyway. Then Daniel said unto the king, O live forever, my God has sent his angel. King, I want you to know that you put me down here with a den of hungry lions, and they starve to death for the purpose of eating people. And they're just waiting and chomping at the bits to get somebody. And we want you to know, King, that God has sent his angel and shut the lion's mouth. We want you to know, King. Amen. I'm old. And now Daniel's dependence was the fact. When he found that out, he said, look, I'm trying to edit this sermon up here. He says that the king was exceeding glad and commanded that you go get Daniel out of the den. And then he says, the king says, matter of fact, bring those men which accuse Daniel. So you got to be careful about fooling with Daniels. It'll backfire on you. Bring them, bring their children, bring their wives, everybody. You know, they didn't think about, you have to think about the consequences of what you do. They were digging a ditch for Daniel that they fell in. And not only that, when you make decisions in leadership position, you bring other folk along with it. Your family gets hurt. Children were crunched on. Wives, bring them all. Now, the king did it. God didn't do it. The king, this is a pagan king. Bring all of them and throw them in there. Can you hear the cries and the pain and the broken arms and crushed faces as those canines went into eyes and backs and eating those just simply because of jealousy? A bunch of haters. And it cost them their whole family. And these kids were eating
alive because of jealousy. It's a terrible thing. Folk will tear up a place for over jealousy. I'm serious. No good. And now, the animals had mastery over them, according to verse 24. And they break their bones in pieces before they ever even hit the bottom. They had mastery. They overpowered them. And before they could even get to the, they never even got to the bottom of the pit. The lions ate them up. Well, what was Daniel depending on? Daniel was depending. I'm not through with that either, but these are some long sermons. Daniel was, notice at the end of verse number, I was out of town when I prepared this. Daniel in verse 23, so Daniel was taken up in the middle of out of the den, and no manner of hurt was, not a scratch on him. Daniel didn't get scratched at all by these hungry, vicious canines. And no hurt was found in him because he believed in God. He trusted in God. He depended on God. Daniel went into that lion's den depending on God. And as far as he was concerned, nothing was going to change. He loved God. He was devoted. And he was dependent on God. Now, there comes a time in life when you can't trust folk. Because you got haters. And there'll be a time when you can't depend on your friends. You can't depend on your family. All Daniel had was God. Lazarus was the king and he couldn't even help him. It doesn't matter if you got the president on your side or somehow official. In life, you're going to need to be able to depend on God when it's all over. God's got your back. Haters drinking haterade. Amen. Somebody said the haters are my elevators. They got Daniel promoted and they got to know about Daniel's God. He said, make a decree that this is the living God. He passed some laws. Let me get on to these tamales. The fact of the matter is that character never changes because the circumstances change. Who you are don't change with the circumstances. Your character don't change because you're when you really got, it didn't matter what was happening or who was coming against. Daniel was who he was. He had integrity. He could be trusted. He didn't talk about folk behind their back. Whatever Daniel said he was doing, that's what he was. He was true to God. Let me get on out of here. The fact of the matter is, another thing we need to know is that the invisible nature of God is seen in the visible life of his people. We people don't know about God, but they know about him through you and I. And we've got to recognize that God is a God that is known to the world by us. They don't know God by God because they can't see him. But I don't know how you feel about it this morning. But all I want you to know this morning is that you got haters, but don't worry about it. Because God's got your back. The world... You have to just trust in God. Stand to your feet. Trust in God. The haters are behind me. They threw me in the pit. And the lions are growling. But the fact of the matter is, you know, there's another lion out. Did you know? Did you hear about him? 1 Peter 5:8. The devil as a roaring lion. Now, if I told you that there was a lion out there loose, they called and told me, and they passed me a note and said, there's a lion loose outside. And he's prowling around. His tail is bouncing around. Amen. And he's out there somewhere, and we don't know where he is. How many of us would go out there, you know, act like he's not out there? The devil is a roaring lion. is going about seeking whom he may devour. Father, we thank you now. For we realize that we live in a world where people just don't like us because they just don't like us. But help us to learn from this and realize that the program should be more important than the people on it. Help us to put you first. Get ourselves out of the way. We can't make your program about us. It needs to be about the gifts that you've blessed us with. If you've gifted this person to do that, you've gifted that one to be good at that, you've gifted that one to be good at that, help us to recognize that Daniel only had what he had because you. He could only interpret because you gave him the gift. We don't have to get jealous over his gift. We can just use our gift and work together for the furtherance of the kingdom. We don't have to throw folk in the lion's den because we see this morning it's got some terrible, it can backfire on us. A lot of women died, children, because a bunch of presidents and princes had egos that they wouldn't let go of, and jealousy. They had a jealous spirit, and they tore up the kingdom. Help us to not tear up our church, tear up our jobs, tear up our homes, simply because somebody got a little more, bought something, were blessed in some way, got promoted, and we didn't. Whether it's their brains, beauty, body, benefits, we find little stupid reasons to be jealous. But help us. And we pray more than anything. And we thank you for the Hispanic culture who has proven to be family-oriented, proven to be a contribution. We don't have to be jealous of their abilities. But we can just say that this is a contribution. This is going to make us stronger. Because they work together and others don't, we can't get mad at them because they know how to work together, stick together. We know that no nationality is perfect. They're not perfect either. But the truth of the matter is, we have learned that it's important to stick together and just make our contribution. Let our gift bring us before good men. Help us to make our contribution. And today we eat tamales because of another culture. And we ask you to bless them now, Lord, and bless this breakfast, and bless these people. Take this message and seal it to our hearts. In Jesus' name. Amen. Give the Lord a hand of praise. Hallelujah. Thank you, Jesus.
Alone in a room. Hallelujah. It's just me and you.
Have mercy, Lord. Have mercy.
I feel so lost.
Yeah.
'Cause I don't know what to do. Now what if I choose the wrong thing to do? I'm so afraid.
I'm so afraid.
Afraid of disappointing you. So I need to talk to you.
Yeah.
And ask you for your guidance, especially today, when my mind is so cloudy.